As I mentioned at the very beginning of Mass, we celebrate the great feast of Pentecost, which concludes the Easter season 50 days after the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead, and 10 days after he ascended into heaven, the Lord Jesus fulfilled his promise by sending the Holy Spirit upon the church, giving her the power and strength to go out and to proclaim his teaching, his death, his resurrection. This is the birthday of the church, a day in which you and I, as Christians, gratefully rejoice in the gifts of the Holy Spirit's presence, the gifts of grace and salvation, the gifts of renewal in Christ by his death and resurrection, the gifts of the sacraments by which the Holy Spirit works in and through them, these sacraments, to cleanse and to strengthen us, the scriptures inspired by the Holy Spirit, imparting truth and wisdom, and of course the body of Christ, the church, which leads us together as one to the heart of Christ our Savior and before the throne of God our Father. These things that I just mentioned are the reason why we're here. This is exactly why we're here. We're here because of Jesus Christ. We're here because of his gifts. We're here because of his love. And we pray that by those gifts and by our love for him, we can remain loyal to him and remain loyal to the church that he has given us. Now, no doubt, many of you have heard, as I've heard so many times, or had the experience many times, of someone asking, especially in the light of the serious problems that the church has been facing for some time with some of our bishops and priests, even some deacons and religious, we get questions or comments like, how can you stay part of that evil, wicked, backward, and perverted institution? Don't you want to be free to think for yourself? How can you live with them, those people making you feel guilty over things that you should be enjoying? And we find these comments like, I will never let those evil men in silly robes and hats tell me how to live my life. And those nuns who were so mean to me in school, they turned me off to religion completely. You've heard it, I've heard it, time and again, and more than enough times. Truthfully speaking, there is the institution. And within the institution, which man has made the church to be, we find human weakness. But what supports the institution, the very foundation of it, is not human. It is divine. Within the institution which man has made the church to be is the living body of Christ, which is what God himself intends the church to be. This is what God himself has fashioned by the Holy Spirit's power, the living body of Christ, made of us. The church is made of living stones, human beings who are complete with all things human, including our weakness and our capacity to sin. But Jesus knows that. He understands that. And this is precisely why the Holy Spirit was sent to us, to be poured out in abundance on us, to forgive us of our sins, to strengthen our weakness, and to prevent us from falling into sin again. This is the great gift of God. This is grace, and this is salvation. As with any gift, we have the freedom to use it or not to use it. You know that. Gifts can be used or remain unused. If we never use a gift and never receive any benefits from that gift, who is to blame? Certainly it's not the gift's fault, nor is it the fault of the giver of the gift. The fault rather lies within the recipient, in this case, you and me. Not fulfilling God's will, not fully using the gifts that he has given us. It's we, the recipients of the great gifts of God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, to us, the body of Christ. It's because of our weakness and our refusal to use the gifts that these gifts have little to no effect. But it could and should change. So when our bishops, for example, act more like, you know, confused and frightened sheep instead of becoming great shepherds and showing their weakness, when priests become power-hungry predators, when deacons seek to be served rather than to serve, when consecrated religious become worldly, unchaste, or disobedient, when the laity and the faithful become careless and lax, when they become self-willed and superficial Catholics in name only, that is not of God. That is not of God at all. It is certainly not of the Spirit. All that is of weak human flesh by itself. It's of the flesh, the weakness of the flesh on its own, headed toward destruction and death. Let's go back and listen again to the words that St. Paul gave us as he wrote his letter to the early Christians, the Church of Rome. Brothers and sisters, St. Paul says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And what does he mean when he says in the flesh? He's talking about our sinful desires. Our sinful desires for worldly, sensual pleasure. Our capacity for greed and lust, that lust for power. Those who have no thought, no care for life beyond this world. No thought about one's soul, pure material. That's all it is. Okay? Not keeping the presence of God in mind, no love for God, nothing done for the glory of God. This is in the flesh. But he says, this is not you. You are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, and it does. We're baptized, we're confirmed, the Spirit is there. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him, but we do. If Christ is in you, your body, your flesh is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of that righteousness God has given. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and it does, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also. This flesh, this weak and wicked flesh, can become transformed into doing something good, becoming holy, the saints that God intends us to be, by the power of the Spirit living in us. We are not debtors to the flesh. We don't sin because we have to, we sin because we want to. But that can change. We are not debtors of the flesh to live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You will live. Those led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into sinfulness and fear, but you received a spirit of adoption through whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Imagine this, true sons and daughters of God the Father who loves you, who has you call him not only Father, but Daddy. It's that intimate. It's that loving. The Spirit himself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, we are heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Are we going to have to suffer from time to time? Yes, we will. Are we going to be tempted from time to time? Of course we are. But if we suffer with him, we know that we shall also be glorified with him. We look at those who do not live by the Spirit of Christ. Those who are slaves. Slaves to all sorts of things, but in particular, are slaves to the opinions of other people. Those who might mock us because of our faith. Those who might ridicule us for trying to do what is right. Those who make fun of us because we make good moral choices. We are called not to join the ungodly, but the godly, to be truly Christ-like men and women of God. Jesus tells us so beautifully in the Gospels that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will keep my word, and I will ask my Father, and he will give you another advocate. I'm there praying with you and for you, and will send you the Holy Spirit to work through you and within you to make my presence known. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father and I will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our dwelling with him. And I will be with you always until the end. Love me and keep my commandments. This, my brothers and sisters, is why we are here. This is why, as I said, we are loyal to Christ and loyal to his church. This is why we celebrate this day with rejoicing and thanksgiving for the Spirit of life that is given to us, for the grace that saves us, for the sacraments and the scriptures that nourish us, for the church that Christ has established, to gather the multitudes of the earth together to praise in one voice the one God and Father of us all. And for this we pray, Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth.